It could be late at night. You're driving across a deserted desert landscape. The wind whispering against your windshield. In the distance, the faint pulse of an AM radio station. You tune in, you turn on, you drop out. It's the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick.
Scorching a painted desert adrift off of Donovan's Reef. Tossing and spinning your pills alone brings such sweet relief. Open your mind and show me your sign to prove you're insane. Seven seas, servants and all my down on my knees. Master's friend, begging me, please look away. Diamond shining through an emerald sky. What's a phantom as he flies by? Trying to laugh, he knows he must die. Look away. Oh,
myself together now. Spend my life making love to you now. Put myself together now. Spend my life making love to you, child. My sweet child. Oh, that little girl made me feel so fine, yeah. Oh, in the morning, oh, in the evening, that little girl made me feel so fine, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll be right back.
Country Joe and the Fish with Donovan's Reef Jam here on the Radio Thrift Shop. I'm DJ Frederick, and thank you for joining me on this freeform journey with no genre, no agenda. We're just cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past century of recorded sound, enjoying folk, rock, psychedelic, indie pop, indie rock, easy listening, jazz, privately released LPs, homemade cassettes, and more here at the Thrift Shop every Saturday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and around the world at classicalwscs.org.
Some mysterious deaths in the wilderness led to an unusual scientific discovery. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
Back in the 60s, a group of hunters in Oregon were found dead at their campsite, and the only clue to what had killed them was there was a newt that was boiled in their coffee pot.
Well, we'll never know just how that newt ended up in the coffee pot, but Joel McLaughlin, an assistant professor of biology at Virginia Tech, explains what happened as a result of this grisly event.
It turns out that the newt is extremely toxic. Most animals that you feed it to or inject secretions from the newt into will either become immobilized or will die. And there are very few animals that can handle it. The only one that we've been able to discover that can eat a lot of the toxin is a garter snake. Garter snakes have an amazing ability to withstand toxins produced by amphibians. Garter snakes eat one of the most toxic animals in the world, known as the rough-skinned newt. They can withstand enough toxin to kill several adult humans.
Apparently, some garter snakes are more resistant to the newt toxin than others, and the amount of poison that they can handle is related to how toxic the newts are that they feed upon.
So this suggests that the garter snakes and the newts are in a co-evolutionary war. That is, as the newts become more toxic to overcome the defenses of the snakes are selected to become more resistant to the toxin. And this creates a feedback loop that can get out of control, leading to extremely toxic newts in some places and extremely resistant snakes that are able to match them.
We'll hear more about poison newts and garter snakes in future programs. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
See bottles everywhere. How they taught when you're not there. I count bottles in my sleeve, in their mouths I counsel keep.
My lucky wind ball, every time that you call, I can rely on you to
Three tunes from a very wonderful compilation called Bob Stanley and Pete Wiggs Present English Weather. We heard the band Camel with Never Let Go, and then Offspring with Windfall from 1972. We started off with Bel Gonzalez and a tune called Bottles. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. And if you would like more information about the Radio Thrift Shop, you could email me at wscs@colby-sawyer.edu. That's WSCS as in We're Sunapee's Classical Station at colby-sawyer.edu.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson, and this is Hidden Histories. For those who think that the only good government is no government or a highly privatized one, you might want to hear about the so-called Congo Free State, a privately held nation run like any good corporation for maximum profit. On June 3rd in 1885, Belgian King Leopold II decided to become the sole shareholder and owner of the Association Internationale Africaine, the company that purportedly owned all of the Congo Free State, an area that represented the present Democratic Republic of the Congo. It took a bit of handiwork for Leopold to pull this off. Among other things, he promised that his motives were purely humanitarian. In a carefully worded letter to U.S. President Chester Arthur, he proposed that as an entirely disinterested humanitarian body, the association would administer the Congo for the good of all, handing over power to the locals as soon as they were ready for that grave responsibility. If this sounds similar to our own disastrous invasion of Iraq, the comparison is apt, at least up to a point. But Leopold went beyond merely colonizing the Congo. He set up a system of forced slave labor that brutalized the local population. According to Adam Hochschild, the forced labor system directly and indirectly eliminated about 20% of the population of the Congo. In addition to the brutal working conditions, where the natives mined for copper and other minerals, white officials carried out wholesale massacres during rubber collecting expeditions, and hundreds of thousands of Congolese were murdered outright. So grim was the slaughter that Joseph Conrad penned his darkest novel to capture the moral rot at the center of Leopold's private enterprise, Heart of Darkness. Eventually, in 1908, the Belgian government abolished the Congo Free State and annexed the region, governing it as a formal colony. The natives were still colonized, but that governing arrangement was far more kind than the privatized hell that Leopold had created. This is Jack R. Johnson for Hidden Histories.
Yo, You're listening to The Buffalo Nickel, a Bobby Smith Apollo 78. And you're on the sound beat. James Earl Fraser created the Native American depicted on the coin from a composite of three chiefs that sat for him, among them Chief Iron Trail of the Lakota Sioux and Chief Two Moons of the Cheyenne. All in all, 1.2 billion were minted from 1913 to 1938. Today, most are worth less than 10 bucks, still pretty good for a nickel. But the most valuable coin in U.S. history is a variation of the 1913 Liberty Head nickel, valued at approximately $4.5 million, or 90 million nickels. Why so rare? Turns out five of them were made illegally by a U.S. mint worker that year. Get the whole story right now at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is made possible in part by a grant from the John Ben Snow Foundation. Learn more about all they do at johnbensnow.com or soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
Well, it's time to close up the thrift shop for the evening. I do hope that you have enjoyed the musical journey. I want to say thank you for supporting non-commercial radio, freeform radio, in all of its incarnations and manifestations. Okay, this is the weirdest sounding closing ever. All right, just remember, wherever you are on the planet, keep your radio free, keep your spirit free, keep your soul free, keep your reality free.